Genesis chapter 45, verse 4. Tell you what, I don't know if everyone here was at church camp. I'm pretty sure they weren't, but if you weren't, you missed something. Let me tell you that. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I was paying attention. I didn't notice it whenever I first got my shirt, but whenever Barry was up here leading the song, I don't know if you realize it, but on the back there it says, "My name is there." It says, "I know" on front, "My name is there," and on the back, the cross is an exclamation point. I didn't notice that whenever I first saw it. I just thought it was a cross. But I realized something. We only use exclamation points in a few different circumstances. Whenever we want to get a point across, whenever we're excited about something, or whenever we're really just trying to, whenever we get worked up about something. "I know my name is there" is all three of them. I'm excited about it. I can get worked up about it, and I can, Lord, I know that I should tell more people. I should be shouting it. Exclamation points means we're saying it loud. We should be shouting it. "I know my name is there." It was a good shirt this year, I'll tell you that. I think I'm still in church camp. I'll tell you what, it's good to be here. We'll start reading in the fourth verse. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earning nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you in a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph was a man who, I'll walk you through the life of Joseph real quick. He was born and he was given a gift. He could interpret dreams. He was his father's favorite. He gave him a coat of bright colors and it stood out among all of his other brothers, and his brothers weren't very happy with that. They got jealous of him. We get jealous sometimes, don't we? We start thinking, why does he have this and why do I not have that? Why did God give him this and I don't have that? We start looking at all these earthly things. We start looking at all these coats of pretty colors and we start looking at these houses, these cars. We start thinking, why can't I have that? We start putting our worth in this world. That's what Joseph's brothers did. They started putting their worth in this world. They didn't realize what they had waiting for them on the other side. They started putting their worth in this world and they got mad with Joseph. So they sold him. They sold him into Egypt, as it says. And as Joseph was in Egypt, he was a slave. But he used his gift that God had given him. He used his gift of interpreting dreams. And one day he interpreted a dream that said, there would be 7 years of famine and we needed to start saving up grain. Joseph took hold and he started saving up grain and he had big storehouses where he would save grain and he would keep the people through this famine, through the 7 year famine. He would allow these people to live. God gave him an opportunity. Now, Joseph, it goes on and it says that this is the verse where Joseph is, he's re-encountering his brothers. Joseph, if I was Joseph, I can't say that I'd be so calm about this. I don't know if I would be, I hope that I would be this calm about it. I hope that I would be this loving, but I'm not always so sure that I'm this loving. I don't think we all are sometimes. I think that it's something that we all struggle with. Being loving towards others, loving like Jesus would, loving like Joseph would towards his brothers. And Joseph, he says, "I've come to preserve your life. You sold me into Egypt. You made me a slave. And I've been sent here to save your life, to preserve your life, your posterity. Not only your life, but your children's lives." See, Joseph knew something. Joseph knew something a little different. He could see past his current position. That's what we need to do. And I guess if I had a thought this morning or something to say, it would be that we get so caught up in earthly things. We get so dragged down by them. We need to look past them. We need to look forward. Not to next week. Not to next month. Not the next 20, 30, 40 years. We need to look past to what we're going towards. To our end goal. Our end goal should be heaven. It's my end goal, and I'm sure it's some of yours. 17 people found that end goal this weekend. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure I am glad that the same Jesus that was up there at Hayesville is the same Jesus that's here. He can save 17 up there, and He can save 17 here. So whenever we get up into church camp and we're starting having a good meeting, we're having a good time up at church camp, right? We're starting to get into the Spirit. We know our name is there. We come home and we don't know anymore. We can remember when we were saved, but Satan gets on us. The world gets on us. We get dragged down. We get beaten down by this world. It's hard to keep going sometimes. But see, the same Jesus that's up there is the same Jesus here. So what changes? It's not Jesus. He's constant through everything. It's us. We let ourselves get dragged down. We let ourselves get beaten down. There's a place in this Bible for every single situation that you're going to encounter. Sadness, grief, pain, sickness. All these things have been talked about. All these things Jesus has gone through. People have gone through in here. And it tells us how we can get to the other side. There's a love waiting for us for the other side. We know that in here, I don't know, how many of you have your Bibles today? Just raise your hand, raise your Bible up, whatever. All right? There you go. That's your roadmap. That's your guide. We need to stand by it. We need to stick with it. We need to stick to it. I know that a lot of times we start thinking about what we need to do outside of it. We can get worried about our school. We get worried about jobs. We get worried about going to college, different things. But there's an answer for every single question that we have in here. We just got to find it. We got to seek it out. That's what God wants of us. He wants us to spend time with Him. He wants to give us the answers. They're all here. We just got to find them. This is our roadmap right here. This is what shows us what we need to do. That's what Joseph knew. Joseph, way back before there was all the books from Genesis to Revelation, he knew that God had a plan for him and he followed it. He has a plan for you and me this morning. We need to follow it. We need to be sure of where we're going. We need to make sure we know where we're going. Heaven. We need to make sure that we've made our path, that we know where we're going, and we know where we're going to end up. And the first step is getting saved. If you haven't been saved, I know that a lot of times in church we hear these grandiose, glamorous prayers. It's not that. That's a good thing. To be able to talk to God. But to get saved, you don't need a grandiose prayer. You don't need to be praying for 17 years of your life beforehand. You don't need to have a doctrine. You don't need to have a degree in prayer. All you got to do is know in your heart that He can save you and ask Him to. It's that simple. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple thing. God made it so easy for us, but sometimes it seems so hard. We get embarrassed, we get frustrated, we get sad, we don't know what we're supposed to do, we get confused. But God makes it so simple for us. God makes it so easy. It's one simple prayer, one simple word to somebody on the street. One simple, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? It's simple. God makes it real, real simple. We make it complicated. Joseph, he knew what he had to do, and he did it. It's very simple. He knew what he had to do, and he did it. He knew that God had a plan for him, and he followed it out. God doesn't, you hear this a lot, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. He doesn't call the people with all the tools. He gives the tools to the people that are called. He knows who he needs to use to get something done. You and me this morning, we both have something that we need to do. All of us. Every single person here has something that we need to do this morning. This life. God's waiting to tell you. God wants you to know what his plan is. We just have to seek it out. We have to find it. And God makes it very simple for us. He made it simple for Joseph. He made it simple for everyone through here. He's laid out a plan for them, and all we have to do is follow. It says over in John 16:33, that in this world we shall have tribulation, but we should be of good cheer that he has overcome the world. It says that Jesus tells us plain. He doesn't beat around the bush. He tells us plain. You're going to have trials in this life. You're going to have hard times. The rains will come. The storms will come. There's no way around it. But you can be of good cheer. He's already won the battle. He's already won the war. That's what victory is. That's why we call it victory. Whenever we're saved, we have victory over sin. That's why we call it that. Because Jesus has already won the war some 2,000 years ago. He's already come, fought, died, and paid the price for your soul this morning. He's made it simple. So that we can shout it to the rooftops. I know my name is there. Another thing that we had at church camp is family. That's what, that was kind of something that we talked a lot about. It was family. Joseph's family didn't really do him too well. They weren't exactly the nicest on earth to him, I can imagine. Whenever he was with them, and then whenever they decided to send him away, of course they weren't very nice to him. But Joseph still loved them. Sometimes we get mad at our family, not only our earthly family, but our church family. We get mad, we get upset, we get worn down. God calls us to love them. Even in the hard times. We were having Sunday school this morning, and we were talking about what we can do when people are mean to us. What we can do whenever people aren't always the nicest to us. And one thing that we didn't really mention was to love them. We talked about how we can sing praises, we can pray to God, and all these different things. But no one really mentioned that we could love them. And that's something hard for me, too. Whenever people are mean to me, the last thing on my mind is, I love you, man. And I'm praying for you. A lot of times I want to worry about what I need, worry about what I want. But that's not good. That's not the example that Jesus set for us. He was selfless. He gave himself for us. He didn't have to. He gave himself for us, for you, this morning. Very simple. Jesus came and he loved you. Even whenever you didn't know him, he loved you. He knew that it was important for him to come. He knew that he had a job to do. He did it. And that means that you and me this morning can be with him when we die. Not only that, we can be with him in this life. We can be with him while we're still here. We can commune with him in times like this. We might not can see him, we might not can be standing face to face with him, but we can feel him. And that's what's so good about it. That even on this side, he doesn't leave us. He knows who we are, he knows our name, and he knows that we are with him, and he is with us. It's very important to remember this morning where we stand. Whether we're saved, whether we're not, whether we know whether we're going to be with him or not. It's very important to know your name is there. Not just think your name is there. Know your name is there. And I know that it's hard sometimes. I know that it's hard to remember sometimes where we were. I was saved right there. I go back to that spot a lot. In my mind and in my heart. Some 10 years ago, I was saved right there, and still just as good today as it was back then. We had someone saved for 44 years, I believe. Still just as good then as it was whenever he was saved. For 44 years. It's important to know where you stand this morning. Very important. That's the most important thing. It's the most important thing that we could ever do. The most important thing that we could ever know is where we stand with the Lord. And I know that it is hard, and it can be hard, but we know that with Jesus we can get through it. We can always push through. We can always get through these trials of life. We can always make it on the other side. That's the most important thing. Come with a song and come to the instruments and we'll have an altar call if you feel that you need to come. That's the thing about God's house. It's not just a place for lost folks to get saved. It's a place for saved folks to know where they're going. It's a place for saved folks to figure out that path that God set out for them. This altar isn't just for lost folks. It's for saved folks alike. It's for preachers, it's for deacons, it's for parents, it's for kids. It's for everyone to come. Lord's house is a house of prayer. It's what we're here for. It's to pray and to praise.